nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. Hi there. How you doing? This is Patrick Timpone, and OneRadioNetwork.com is the place where you have landed. Landed indeed. Well, we're going to have a good time this morning. Not sure exactly what we end up talking about between now and a couple of hours, but we always have a lot of fun stuff to hang out with, and I hope you'll stick around and join us. An easy way to join us would be to call on the telephone, which is 888-663-6386. The email is patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We call this open phone and open email Friday because that's what we get. Mostly emails, but we do get some phone calls. Folks are not, folks are generally shy, you know. And we do a little thing where we encourage first-time callers, but you second-time and third-time and fourth-time, feel free to call too, and fifth-time, it doesn't matter. We love you all. We just like to talk to folks on the phone. It's more fun than emails, but and then we have some little prizes. So let's see, what are we doing this time? We have aloe and pine pollen, right? Yeah, aloe and pine pollen for the month of August. I took off last week, so this is the first open phones of September. So we got all the names in here. Little paper, we drip. Not a lot. I think we have about 10 people or so, which is, you know, pretty good. 10 people, new first-time callers, and so we're just going to draw one out. Hold on a second. We probably need some music for this. Yeah. Got to have some music for it because, well, you know, it's... Because, I mean, it's just better that way. The music helps me just drop one. Okay, is that enough music? Is that... Okay, listen. Okay. Daniel Duke. Hi, Daniel. Congratulations, Daniel. Got yourself some pine pollen, some aloe vera in 2 1/2 gallons. So congratulations to you, first-time caller that we just draw it. So we're going to do another one for this month. And, of course, I have no idea what the prizes are going to be because I'm a little bit behind. And I do have a little behind because I jump on my rebounder. That was like a joke. Okay, Daniel, so Daniel, I have Daniel's email, but Daniel, I'll email you. So that's how we do it. So if you'd like to be in the September drawing, you can do it. It is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Got a lot of things to do this morning. One of them is, and we'll probably do it sooner than later, because I just want to get this out there. It's kind of curious. You probably know Dr. Zach Bush. We have invited Zach Bush again, and we're going to do it again because I don't think we've ever talked to him. Can you imagine? Pretty famous guy. Hold on a second. Yeah, he's really an interesting fellow. I should look in our archives. Have we ever talked to Zach Bush? I don't think so. We may have. I don't remember all this stuff. Just don't put it in my file drawer because I don't want it. And so funny, lots of times I'll see somebody and somebody will send in, well, why don't you talk to so-and-so? And I said, I think we talked to him or her. And sure enough, I put it in our search engine and they pop up maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago. So that's just a little reminder. Go into our search function, which is at the top right of One Radio Network, and put in people that you might want to hear from. You'd be surprised. Well, over 12, 13 years, we've talked to a lot of people, and we do every day, so you'd be surprised who you'll find. And you can also do it by category, too. Thyroid, whatever. So the email is patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We have the drawing out of the way. Let's get some new first-time callers in for September. It's September 11, 20... Oh, well, September 11. That kind of passed me by. September 11. Well, we won't go into that. I mean, it's old news, right? So we won't even probably mention it. Why even mention it? So that was easy. So much for our 7-Eleven show. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Just looking at some of the emails here. We may want to just stay in the political arena just for a second, just because we're there with September 11. But I continue to get just tremendous amount of emails from people all over the world of this person and that person. And you, generally, it's just a person on YouTube talking, you know, like me. And just because you have a YouTube thing and a camera doesn't mean you really know what you're talking about, as you know. Because I say a lot of things, I have no idea what I'm talking about. So just because someone says it doesn't mean that it's accurate. And just because somebody has a keyboard and writes it, you know, doesn't mean that they know anything. You just have to kind of hang out with the person and look at them and listen to them and look at them, you know, whatever, and kind of figure out for yourself what kind of credibility they have. And then maybe then do some more research and then see if whatever they're putting out there kind of is relevant to you in your life, and see if it even makes any sense to go deeper into it. What I'm mostly referring to is all of the talk with President Trump and the White Hats arresting people, indicting people, and all of this. It's just everywhere. Generally, when something like that is so prolific, one would think, well, you know, they're... But, you know, it'd be fun to see that. I just have not seen any real evidence of that. I'm not suggesting that President Trump is not a good guy. I think he is a good guy. I think he means well. He's got his hands full. I really do. I think he means well. I think he's got a big heart, and for what that's worth. I mean, I don't know if that's why you would vote for somebody to be president, but I have no... except for the fact that he... isn't into wanting to find a vaccine that's going to, you know, help people not get this corona thing. Other than that, I just haven't seen a whole lot of stuff, which is real, you know, policy that just as a mostly kind of libertarian guy that I would disagree with. I just really haven't. Of course, nobody really talks about policy anymore. It's all about personality, you know. Pelosi and Biden and you know, Donald Trump and being racist and all that. And it's got to be so absurd that you can't even get involved in the mix now. It's just really absurd. It's really, it's almost, I don't know, it's just really kind of sad what our culture has drifted towards when it comes to politics. I mean, there's no real policy talked about. There just isn't, you know. Just isn't. Mostly lies. Mostly lies. that whole Atlantic story that was said that the president said something about people in the gray sites as he's flying over them, that they're suckers, that they want to war. And the Atlantic, it was a big story, and it's proven out more and more and more and more that it was just fake news. It's a shame that we do that to other people just for political stuff. So, you know, we're only, a couple months away, from October, November, less than 2 months away from this election, and it's going to be interesting. There are more and more people, and I think I have this one. Oh, I was going to play this one for you. Yeah, I got to send it over to, I should have done this before, sorry. Oh, I can probably find it on YouTube, but I want to play it for you. It was with Mark Zuckerberg and talking about the election. Before that, though, I would like to play a little piece of tape for you that it was sent to me, and it's from Dr. Zach Bush, who, as I said, we've invited him again to come on, and hopefully he's a busy guy, but he's a pretty smart guy, as you'll hear, and he's going to answer a question from this interview. I believe it's Sasha Stone, on the left, he doesn't say anything, about what is a virus. Now, we're very fortunate to have people, our regular guys, like Adam Bergstrom, Dr. Richard Massey, who virtually is saying what Dr. Bush is saying here, and Dr. Ray Peet, and some of it from Dr. Mark Serkis. But this is one of the more concise, and I found it fascinating. I was just enraptured by it. So whether you're on audio or video this morning, this is Zach Bush, and he was asked, what is a virus? And I don't know if this is exactly the way it is, because I haven't done all of the research that he has, but it sure sounds interesting. It sounds right. And again, it's along the lines of, you know, Bergstrom, Pete, Massey, what they're talking about. But this is a very curious way that Zach presented it. So let me get this up and see if it'll play here.
The virus is a communication network of genomics, and it's the most important building block for life on Earth. And so we have vilified the very mechanism by which biology has happened on the planet. And this is a tragic mistake for science. Certainly for humanity and for economics, it's been tragedy. But I have a deeper concern for science itself, that we have allowed, as scientists and physicians, the demonization of nature. And that is a really sad thing. We are given such an honorable position to be able to be witness to nature with the most powerful tools ever developed, microscopes, telescopes, genomic sequencers. I mean, we are getting a glimpse into the very depths of how life has occurred, not just on the planet, but within the universe, and how biophotonics and physics actually produces the building blocks for biology to occur on a planet, and how that planet can then emerge with this bioactive, always regenerative, always eager to communicate, always eager to create more bounty and more biodiversity. And that life is what we have vilified by trying to convince ourselves and each other that these viruses are attacking us. It is very important for us to all just consider that viruses are not living beings. They are not like bacteria and fungi and protozoa and archaea. Viruses are packages of information that are secreted by living organisms. They also are, you know, very simple arrangements of physical structures, amino acid type building blocks that will go on to build those amino acid proteins and all of that. And so they are a template for life to develop, and they never have enough information within a single virus to do something to a human. they can participate in many different, pathways in human biology, but there's not enough genetic information in a single virus to do something horrific to mankind. If that was the case, of course, a virus would have killed all of us long ago. Viruses, though, are integrated into our biology, and we get to decide which viruses we turn on and reproduce and which ones we don't. And so it's the train within the cell. We now know that genetic engines or machinery that will determine which genes get turned on within our genome, which viruses will enter and be transcribed into, DNA within our genome or, reproduced in the cytoplasm and secreted out to the world again. Highly controlled mechanisms by which we do this. And so this is not like some accident. It's not like some, infection that can take over all of our machinery. The RNA is a very passive, situation with this coronavirus. It's a very passive gene that moves into the environment of our cell, and then we can either reproduce that or not. And as we've seen with this situation with corona, is the vast majority of people are taking this genetic update and have no symptoms to that. And so this is a genetic update to our species that's expressing an adaptation to the stress that we've induced on the planet.
Beautiful. Thank you. Absolutely beautiful. The next question is also a fairly obvious one. Is given that the virus is an excreta or an exosome, it's not something which is able to leap from one human to another, presumably. So the idea of 2 meters social distancing and wearing a mask that costs you 20 cents, I mean, how absurd is that theater?
It would make sense if the particles that we breathe, so these respiratory particles that they keep telling us about that can travel 3 or 6 feet, if that's the only way viruses travel, then that would make some sense, because viruses are, once we go into a production phase of a virus, meaning that we have decided that we're going to reproduce this thing, and so we need to make this thing, this adaptation needs to be spread throughout our body and throughout, the environment around us to help proliferate this update. And so we're giving this genetic update to the environment. Once we start into that process, we make that into a smart delivery system. And so we will wrap it in the correct receptors to get that to the right position within another cell in our body or to another, external target. And in the case of coronavirus, it tags a receptor called the ACE2 receptor in our lungs, vascular tree, and the rest, so that it gets to the right cells to get the right genetic information into those cells. And so it's a very intelligent distribution. It's not just like random, like spewing of genetic information and it just goes out there to infect whatever it touches. It needs to have an intelligent design behind it as to where that's going to end up. But as it turns out, we know very well that viruses were proliferating around the whole globe long before an animal ever breathed. And so these were building the fabric of life from fungi and plants and everything else. The viruses were slowly building the complexity and diversity within the genetic code of the planet. And humans, for example, mammals as a whole, 50% of our genome was built directly by a virus insertion. So a virus inserted a piece of DNA or an RNA got reverse transcribed into DNA within our genome, and we kept that as an important update. These are critical. We now know that without retroviruses, for example, like HIV, that all these retroviruses account for about 10% of our genome. And our genes that are updated by retroviruses or given to us by retroviruses allow us to do the very things that allow for resilience and regenerative capacity within our body. Stem cells actually can't be a stem cell without the gene from a retrovirus that was inserted a couple million years ago in the mammalian code. And same thing with a placenta, in fact, which gets really interesting. We could not have a placenta without the viral genomics that we adopted from the environment. And so we would not have had the first mammalian birth without the intelligence of the virome building that intelligence. And so we are, again, vilifying the very fabric by which life was built. And by vilifying that, it leads to all kinds of ridiculous mistakes in the public health sector. And so to think that we should mask our way away from viruses is erroneous on many, many levels. Number one, respiratory droplets that are being stopped by that is only one mechanism by which viruses spread. Again, they spread all over the world through aerosols, these airborne rather than waterborne respiratory droplets. airborne, tagged to things like dust particles, carbon in the atmosphere, can tag the virus, and it can carry around the globe. And so there's nice studies out of Europe showing that when a virus is discovered in humans, you can then go up into ice caps and other, you know, desert environments of Europe and find the same viruses showing up at the same time. And so it doesn't take human travel. It doesn't take airplanes to move viruses around. Viruses were moving around the Earth for billions of years. They wasn't waiting for humans to invent the airplane. And so this CDC kind of model of, oh, this plane flew from here to there, sure, that and caused that infection in that individual. But if you just waited 3 weeks, that virus was going to coat the surface of the planet anyways, you know? And so it's this perception that's always so narcissistic. We're so human centric in our worldview, and we try to make biology fit to us as if we're, you know, the machines that are moving it, and we're the machines that are distributing it, and therefore we need to be blocked. That virus is for the planet. That coronavirus was updated to all mammals on the planet. It wasn't just for humans. All mammals have the ability to absorb that virus. And then everybody's like, well, they're not getting sick. Well, of course not, because they don't have the cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and you know, everything else that we have. And so we were dying from our morbidity, mortality, and our messed up biology from our toxicity. And so this virus that spread around the world didn't cause, you know, massive death and other, you know, large cats in the jungles or whatever it is. You know, the ACE2 receptor is abundant within all mammals, and yet we don't see the same, you know, disease pattern.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And so that goes some way to describing why we're dying from exposure to this particular, the toxicity of this particular virus. Is there anything more you want to add to that?
Yeah, this is, you know, a really important mistake that we've again made in medicine. And, you know, if there's physicians and scientists and nurses listening to this, first of all, I want to just thank you for your effort. I know how exhausting it is to be in a hospital when there's a crisis at hand, especially when you feel poorly equipped for it and you feel like you can't help the patients that are coming to you who are suffering and dying, and you don't feel like you have the right tools. And so my hats are off to all of you who have been on the front line. It is exhausting. It is overwhelming emotionally. It is overwhelming physically. And you feel like, especially when there's a story of some deadly virus, you feel like you're putting yourself in harm's way and your family's in harm's way by being in those hospitals. So hats off to all of you who have been on those front lines. But what we saw, you know, is going to take us, you know, months and maybe years for us to really, you know, seep into, because it's a devastating story that we created in Western medicine here, is that we reached 88% mortality rates in New York City, in the most, you know, medically advanced society, you know, apparently on Earth. We created the highest mortality of any virus ever seen. Ebola has a mortality around 30%, and we hit 88% in our ICUs. Nowhere else in the world did we see that kind of mortality happen. And so why are people dying if Zach is right that this is just like some benign genetic update that we're supposed to get? Like, why are these people dying? If there's not enough genetic information in that virus to cause death, then what's causing the death? And so that took some research when this started happening. I was trying to figure out why this coronavirus, you know, and what I found was that 2002 mimicked the exact same thing. And so SARS, it turns out, caused blue patients, hypoxic patients, that a few days later their lungs would fill with fluid, and then they would die of multi-organ failure in the weeks to come. And so that's exactly what was happening with these patients here in New York. And I didn't get that story until there was a nice Instagram post from one of the New York docs on the front lines, and he put together a beautiful story saying, we've got something wrong here. These aren't infections. These people are showing up hypoxic at levels I've never seen before and talking to me. They're not infected. They're not like acting septic, but they're hypoxic from the moment one. And then they get worse and worse over the days that follow. And respirators don't work. They seem to make it worse. You put them on a ventilator. They tank. And so he was just a call to act, you know, for help. And so when I heard that they were turning blue, then we knew that, okay, they're showing up the same way SARS did, which was another coronavirus, and you know, and very similar to the current one. Then you look at 2012, MERS out of the Middle East, same pattern. And so we now can say, okay, there's a pattern that developed somewhere around, you know, the 2000s, where coronaviruses, which has been with us since, you know, 740 years ago, there was a very well-documented coronavirus, you know, situation. 1,200 years ago, there's a suspected coronavirus situation. So, you know, we've got a pattern of this virus for hundreds and hundreds of years, and then suddenly there's a change in its behavior or our behavior around that virus in the late, you know, 90s or early 2000s. Excuse me. And what happened during that time was a ubiquitous introduction of a chemical into our food system through genetically modified crops, which was called glyphosate or Roundup. And that compound happens to block the production of some very specific amino acid building blocks for specific proteins. And one of the proteins that is very reliant on these essential amino acids that are disrupted by glyphosate happens to be a gene that builds our relationship to viruses. It's a gene that produces an enzyme that, like scissors, cuts up the DNA of viral genomics when they come into the cell so that we don't overexpress this DNA. And so around the advent of glyphosate and Roundup, we see this event of an abnormal, you know, relationship built to this. I'm going to slide out of the sun while we're talking. And so an abnormal relationship is built to these as we lose the enzyme control mechanisms by which we stay in a balance with these. And so through chemicalization of our food system, we disrupt the homeostasis of this virus in our genome. And then around that same time, we see the explosion of air pollution in China in particular, other cities around the world for sure. But China became our most toxic air polluted space in the world in the late 90s and leading up into the new century. And so by the time we're looking at 2006 and all that, you are getting pictures of Beijing where you can't even see the skyscrapers. It's just like buried in pollution. And it turns out that around that time, we were able to show that coronavirus and influenza bind to a particulate, carbon particulate in air pollution. It's called PM2.5. Particulate matter 2.5 microns is a measurement of this tiny carbon particulate that can bind many things in the atmosphere, including things like cyanide. And so when you have viruses that are being produced and go aerosolized, as they should, they will bind and clump on PM2.5. So now you don't have even distribution of genetic information. You have clumping of genetic information that's now tagged to go to the lung through the ACE2 receptor. And now you've got a delivery system for cyanide that's tagging that same PM2.5. And it turns out that cyanide poisoning presents with hypoxia, blue patients who a few days later will present with multi-organ failure and disseminated intravascular coagulation or blood clotting in tiny vessels, and they'll die of multi-organ failure. Cyanide poisoning has been a long-standing, you know, story of how people would kill each other in the dark ages and everything else. We've known cyanide causes this thing that we call histotoxic hypoxia for hundreds of years. And so it turns out that as soon as that New York doctor, you know, described what he was seeing, it was like, oh, that's histotoxic hypoxia that they're seeing. And then, you know, I gave a few podcasts on that, trying to get the information out there so that people would start treating cyanide poisoning. So that's actually super easy to treat and almost free to treat. It costs like $10 for a cyanide poisoning packet, sodium nitrate and two other injections. You give those and 3 minutes later, the patient should be reversing their cyanide poisoning. And so instead of a 3-month hospital stay,
Okay, so, wow. Pretty interesting, interesting fellow for sure. That was Dr. Zach Bush. And so you can kind of rewatch that if you want to take notes on the virus thing. But, you know, also Dr. Thomas Cowan has been on to these kind of things. And he's out soon with a new book with Sally Fallon just about this thing about the virus, how viruses and how they work. And he's going to be on the show here, oh, I think before the end of September. The book is going to be released real soon. I've pre-ordered it. So there's a lot of people around, smart people like Zach Bush and Cowan and Adam and Dr. Massey and Ray Pete and other folks, Stephanie Seneff, where you say her name, Seneff, and tied in with the glyphosates. I thought that was really fascinating as well. So we'll get together with Dr. Seneff soon. I believe she's still in Hawaii, so the time difference, but I think she's going to be coming back soon, and then we'll get her on the show and we'll kind of, you know, unpack that whole glyphosate virus thing. But you know, from the cheap seats here in the audience, which I, you know, I'm just an observer and ask questions, so I have no idea exactly how all this stuff works. But I think that what Dr. Bush is saying here falls into what we've been kind of feeling, I've felt intuitively, for what it's worth, for many, many years, that we don't really get a flu virus, that these viruses are there. They're just, they're not living. They're just genetic, they're information to re-update our genetic code, right? And so they're passive. Viruses aren't living, according to Zach Bush. These are, it's just genetic information, and they're all over the place. And we all take in these, this information. And sometimes we choose to interact with it because of perhaps toxicity, right? And we will have flu-like symptoms, which we've believed, and now I'm beginning to even believe it more strongly, that these flu-type symptoms are a detoxification pathway. So this this genetic information from these viruses that are always circling around, and they'll get, as Zach Bush said, they're going to get from here to China in 2 or 3 weeks, whether or not you get on an airplane or not. That's just the way they do. And it's just information, and it's actually it's a God thing and a spirit thing to help people to get stronger so they get the flu and they detoxify and whatever. They get diarrhea or they get a headache and they're detoxifying, and that's what the flu is. It's not that you catch this virus and you get the flu. This virus comes in and we all get it. Just like we've all had this corona thing. We've all been exposed to it. Some people react to it because of comorbidities. Some people react to it because, you know, maybe they just needed to, who knows, maybe they just needed to stay home for a while and be with their kids. You don't know, because karmically, anything could be going on if you deal it with, you know, with the spiritual, emotional. But the point is that it's not a bad thing, that it's a genetic update for everybody. That's what viruses do, and that's what this fellow was talking about, who first came out with the old exosome things, and Dr. Cowan and Dr. Massey talked about it. But it's everybody's choice, even though it may be unconscious, of what they experience when they're exposed to these viruses, which is, you know, which is of course the same way, in my opinion, what's going on with measles and mumps and rubella and all these other things. They've just given names to these viruses that are just genetic kind of updates, not living things. They're just genetic updates. And what we've conjectured for years around here is that measles and mumps are a detoxification pathway, a rite of passage, if you will, for the kids to you know, interact with this virus. And then the kids will detoxify from, you know, whatever, 9 months in the womb, and then they're growing and they're changing and they're getting stronger. And then they get the measles and the mumps, and these are just a detoxification pathway. So you can see, if we really understand how this works, to create a vaccine, to stop these genetic updates, even if it were not for mercury or adjuvants or whatever, you know, pieces, parts of all the things that are in vaccines, you know, aborted fetal tissue and all the weird stuff they put in them, aluminum. Even if that wasn't in there, it wouldn't make any sense, because the whole idea of trying to stop a virus from spreading is just against nature. This is God's way of helping us to get stronger. And it's just fascinating. I just think that, and I think it's fascinating now, especially in 2020, because we're becoming, you and I are beginning to actually get more clear on it. So for us, the genetic update is more of a spiritual, mental, emotional thing for those of us who didn't need to get sick. Wow. Just fantastic. So we're going to invite Dr. Zach Bosch back again. We did a couple months ago. We never heard back from his office, but we're kind of low on the totem pole as far as most shows are. Not low or high. We are what we are, and we do what we do, and it doesn't even matter. So if you'd like to be on the show, if you have some ideas that you would like to share with people, or questions or comments, or just talk about what you've just heard, and see if there's anything there for you to even consider, call 888-663-6386, 888-663-6386. A good friend of mine moved from her place of where she was living. And she moved to a place, was kind of an apartment, and she felt kind of yuck as soon as she moved. She thought it was really kind of cell phone towers coming in, maybe because there's some in her neighborhood, and she had aluminum siding on the side of her house and felt like that was really helping her, so she didn't feel it. But then the guy underneath her, where she moved, had this pretty strong Wi-Fi, because you could actually go on the Wi-Fi just where she was in her apartment, right? It was just right there. So obviously the Wi-Fi is coming in. And she really felt kind of not good. And she got one of these Blue Shield EMF radio frequency devices from Shen Blossom. And if you're on video, you see the picture of it right here from Brandon. And these things are a little cube. You see the picture. And she got one of these. And within 24 to 48 hours, she'd start feeling really badly. I mean, like really, very, very low energy, flu-like symptoms, just really trudging along. But had a hard time getting to sleep. But then once she went to sleep, then really slept very solid, like she was healing. And she was really grateful for getting it, because she thought intuitively that the Blue Shield was causing a detox reaction, because it helped her body to get, which is what it does, it helps the body to get stronger to better deal with electromagnetic fields. That's what the Blue Shield does, and it doesn't block them. It helps the body to get stronger and navigate planet Earth. It's very interesting technology, one of the few ones that really works with the cells in the body. So she really felt this whole, she really felt this whole detoxification, and is still feeling it now. And she went on the website, which I didn't look at all the directions, and they actually talk about it on the website, that you might experience this, and people do experience a detox reaction. I didn't get any when I put mine in a couple of years ago, because I just don't really have any electromagnetic radiation out here, knock on wood. I can barely do a little text thing. You can sometimes can't even call. There's just nothing out here, knock on wood, and that's a good thing. So I didn't really feel anything, but I know that it's helping my body to stay stronger just in general for any kind of things that might come our way. I get stuff here in the studio, but it's electrical, magnetic. I think it helps the body to those. I don't know. I actually have never even talked to Brandon about that, but so we're feeling pretty good. Here's a little bit more from Brandon on the Blue Shield, and this one's about the chickens. Previously, we talked with Brandon Amalani about his Blue Shield product to protect against EMFs in your home.
The more connected we are, the more electromagnetic radiation we're going to have. So years ago, I'd play with Q-Links and just anything I can get my hands on that whether I felt it working or not, I just wanted some kind of leverage against electromagnetic radiation and those frequencies and how they affect the cellular biology. But then when I met Mark and started really getting deep to his technology and really looking at the microprocessing technology, I've never found any EMF company that would not only to test on not only human blood and urine analysis, but also on animals, which totally weeds out the idea of placebo effect. I mean, the fact that you can plug these devices into a chicken farm, a factory farm, for about 15,000 laying hens, and all of a sudden the mortality rate, which is averages from 60 to 150 deaths per month, goes down to zero. I mean, it's pretty profound that a little device, a little energy device, could actually like create such a harmony and balance within the environment, to where claustrophobic chickens that are crammed in together actually get along better and actually feel better, and the biological markers are improved over that 1 year study.
There's quite a bit of science with this Blue Shield product. You can see the ad on the front page. Promo code ONERADIO will get you a 10% discount. This works on the cells in the body. Very cool technology. Front page, Blue Shield, OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously with cardiologist Dr. Joel Kahn, 35 years experience in cardiology.
On your commercial break, you hit a hot button because I'm a giant fan of infrared sauna and the cardiac benefits.
Tell us about why you like these saunas for the heart. What does it do?
In Japan, it's a traditional therapy of heart disease to even sick heart patients to sit for 15 or 20 minutes in an infrared sauna, then lie down and rest and hydrate for about half an hour. They call it Waon, W-A-O-N. It means soothing heat. And they've done research studies, like 30 of them, in humans. Anti-ages your arteries and improves the strength of your heart, and it may actually prolong survival in sick heart patients. Anybody can just, again, go to the internet, read about infrared sauna heart disease, or put my name there because I've written many articles about it. Now there's data coming out of Sweden and Finland because they've published some amazing data that number of times a week you're in a sauna, number of minutes each time, you can just track out how long you're going to live. So very powerful therapy by being in, my favorite is an infrared sauna.
Well, I don't know about you, but if the heart muscles and the arteries are happy, things are good. Yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it? Some of the benefits that we can get from the sauna with the whole heart thing too, which is pretty exciting. Like I just said, I mean, as we get to be 90, 100, 200, 120 revolutions around the sun, if Mr. Hart's kind of happy, I mean, you know, that's kind of good. It's probably the only thing. It's probably the only thing that's gonna. I don't know. You know, who knows? I mean, you know, it's great. So email me and I'll hook you up with the sauna. $1,150, and that's in the lower 48. We ship them all over the world. And no matter where you live, we can get you one pretty quickly and a very good price. It's usually only about $100 more to Canada, but then you also have, we go over to Europe and things like that, and you'll get the proper plug, and they'll get it to you. And they're shipped right from the medical university in Taiwan. So we ship them all over the world. So just email me and hook you up. That's OneRadioNetwork.com, and it's Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com, and I'll get you that price, $1,150 in the lower 48. Oh, why didn't that work? Oh, I know.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.
Okay, this is open phone and open email. Friday, come on in. I say hi, hello. And if you'd like to be on the show, you can do it by 888-663-6386. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We were not able to get, we were not able to get the PDF as we promised on... from Morley, because it was on a different thing. But anyway, he's resent that, and I'm going to send it to Sharon. I'm going to see if she can get that up. We want to put that on the website, so you can kind of go over some of the numbers if you listen to the Morley Robbins thing. And it was all about the the copper and the iron, and low copper, high iron, and the whole magnesium thing. Pretty fascinating. I'm beginning already to do his protocol, and people have been asking me about it, and it's very simple actually. The protocol, I'm just actually kind of jazzed about doing it. The good thing is it's not really asking me to do a whole bunch of stuff that I probably wouldn't do if it was just if it was just a lot of pills. I wouldn't do that, because I just don't like taking a lot of capsules and stuff like that. But it turns out it's not. So just a little update. Morley's going to be here once a month too, and I think it's going to be the last Tuesday, because he's really a smart guy, and we like talking to him. He's very compassionate, very sweet guy, and I think he's well researched. Anyway, so the idea, and I did all these different blood tests, and as you know, if you listen here, I'm not a big guy for chasing numbers and trying to get this and that. I just don't do that. Matter of fact, I mean, according to all everybody you talk to, if I looked at my thyroid levels, I have a TSH of like 4, and even Dr. Ray Pete says if you got a TSH of 4, you should probably do some of the. But you know, I don't have any interest in doing some kind of a. I'm great. I don't have any interest in doing some kind of piggy thyroid and all that to try to get that number. Dr. Daniels suggests that it doesn't mean anything. Anyway, but Morley kind of sold me on the idea, and I mean that. I mean, I'm kind of believing him at this point. I don't know. I just get up here and do my life and say, okay, well, he's an interesting fellow. I think I might play around with that to get my copper levels up, because copper is a really key ingredient, according to Morley. About once again, I'm just going with his recommendation for now. I don't know. We'll see. If I start to, I only have a couple little things going on, like I don't sleep all that well, and then I got this little numbness in my toes, little toesies. My popsicle toes sometimes get popsicles, but that's the only thing. But if those two things would change with more copper and less, less iron, that'd be cool, right? That means that I needed more copper. And one of the reasons I really kind of went for it is because, water, please. It's because I go back and I have some hair things, some hair analysis that go back 20 years. Yeah, I think the last one was 2003. And in every one that I've ever had since then, for 20 years, the copper values are like literally off the chart, all the way to the right to the end of the paper. Literally off the charts. And according to Morley, well, the reason is because I'm not holding on to copper, and it just keeps spitting it out. So copper in the food, whatever, it's just spitting it out, and it comes out through your hair. So you have a high copper value in your hair. Doesn't mean you have too much copper. With these kinds of things, it means, according to him, that you don't have enough. And copper is very critical to everything, thyroid, all kinds of things, every working. I mean, all of these minerals are there for a reason. So if they do get out of whack, and he suggests that they get out of whack because we get too much iron and they start putting iron in the food, and who knows why. You know, there could be a million different reasons. So so I'm going to kind of go with that idea, and he put together a protocol that he says will help me to get more copper into my body, lower the iron levels, and we'll see what happens. And what's cool about this protocol is that it's all food, really. Pretty much all food. I think it's all food except for a couple of the magnesium things, and which I was doing anyway. Magnesium, and I don't know. Well, actually, The magnesium thing that I'm doing that he recommended is from the ocean. It's kind of a mineral drops of magnesium. So I got some of that. I got some of this transdermal magnesium, which Dr. Circus talks a lot about, and you can rub that on. And then getting some magnesium and putting it in the bath, some magnesium flakes, and then get plenty of magnesium. And then that's really important. He's a magnesium man, you know. Get plenty of magnesium, which helps to balance all these guys. I don't know exactly how it works. We'll dig into it more when he's back here in about 3 weeks. So this could be really, he may be onto something. He calls it the real RCP, real root RPC, root protocol, he calls it. And he believes that this is a reason why many people have things out of balance because they have too much iron and not enough copper. That's his conjecture, and he's kind of sticking to it, doing a lot of research on it. He just may be correct. He's getting some good results from people. So you've been asking me, and I did get a new version of this, and I'm going to send it up to Sharon, and maybe she's going to be able to get it on the show page where you can click on it. But these things I've already gotten, I've already started, and it's wheat germ oil, some organic wheat germ oil, like a teaspoon a day. Not sure exactly what we're going to get with that, but I got some of that. Again, I started a couple days ago. Diatomaceous earth, which I've never messed around with much, but I actually had some food-grade diatomaceous earth. So I'll be taking some of that every day for a bit. He says it kind of goes after, parasites and stuff. And I remember my nose is just... I remember this old timer I saw, and I've told this story before, where this fellow had amazing skin. And I asked him, and he was probably 75 or so. And I asked him, well, what are you, this was like 10 years ago. I don't know why I was there. I think I was looking for goat's milk. And I actually just, I said to him, I said, I could tell he was, in that range of revolutions. And I asked him, I said, how does your skin look so good? He said, well, I'll tell you what, I do diatomaceous earth and aloe vera every morning. That's what he said. I'll always remember that. So I do aloe vera, so I'm going to start doing diatomaceous earth, and my skin looks great. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, looks good now, doesn't it? I don't know. Maybe the lady that we had on, remember about the parasites and the skin, maybe she was correct, and maybe that's why one of the reasons why this fellow's skin looked great, maybe he was getting after buggies. I don't know. So I'm doing wheat germ oil and diatomaceous earth. Also, we've got some... I started Rosita's extra virgin kind of cod liver oil. Rosita's, that's theoretically one of the cleanest ones ever. I've heard about it for years and never really used it. Haven't taken cod liver oil because of Adam and Dr. Pete and saying it's not good for you. But I'm going to do it as a kind of a medicine and just see if my little symptoms, the two little things, knock on wood, that I have, improve. If they do, then I know I need it some. If they don't, then I probably won't take it very long. I don't know. So I'm doing that. What else? Bee pollen. And I've been pretty much a bee pollen person all my life. It's got some really good things in there, say Marley. But now I'll start to do it every day just to get on this program. Stabilized rice bran. There's a great one I have from Shen Blossom, the rice sprouts, which is a rice bran thing. You can also get some organic toka, but do go on Shen Blossom and get it there, and that's a rice bran thing you can take. So I haven't done that regularly, but I will, just because. And then beef liver, I'm going to start doing that probably once a week or so. And then also he recommends you can do some extra desiccated beef liver from the ancestral supplements, and we're going to be promoting those, and I've been doing those an extra beef liver every day, and that helps to put copper into your body and helps to take copper out, which is pretty cool. And then also a little thing, some cream of tartar and salt. And we have a great little product on Iodine Source. You can click through our show pages or our store and go to Iodine Source through the, I don't know if we have the exact sulfur in there, the sulfur salts. It's called sulfur salts, but it's got cream of tartar in there, and it's called sulfur salts. So evidently, Edgar Cayce knew the importance of taking a little bit of cream of tartar every day. I'm not sure why, so we'll get in more into this protocol with Marley next time we have him on. We didn't ask him all these questions. So it's called sulfur salts, and it's with Iodine Source, and you can get it there. You might want to do this just because now this is my protocol, but it could be helpful for you to play around with these things just to see how you feel. He also likes this innate response vitamin C. I bought some of that innate response, and it's a food-based vitamin C thing. He doesn't like just ascorbic acid by itself unless you've got some special things helping the body to absorb it. He's not a ascorbic acid fan, as Adam Bergstrom and is not as well, and some other people. So that's about it, really. And then the magnesium. That's it. So it's really food, not a whole lot of stuff, just a couple extra things that I hadn't been taking before. I guess my new things are the innate response vitamin C, the wheat germ, and the cod liver oil, and then more regularly the rice bran and the more magnesium, the rice bran, and the diatomaceous earth. So that's a little protocol I'm going to be doing for fun, and then you can follow the bouncing ball. I'll be letting you know how I do with that, and if you try some of this stuff, let us know and see how you do. Or you can do a session with Marley, and you can do that little do the blood test called the Full Monty thing, and go ahead and just do the whole deal, and then get a specific thing for yourself. Itchy nose. Okay, this is OneRadioNetwork.com. It's September 11, 2020. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. If you'd like to join the show, here's a number, 888-663-6386. If you make that noise when you do it, you have an extra chance. If you're a first-time caller, you go into our kitty, and the first show in October, you're going to win a prize package that will be not quite a trip to the Bahamas, but close. What else did... So fascinating about the Zach Bush thing. So we're going to get him on. So we have Dr. Cowan, Dr. Massey, Dr. Pete, Ray Burks, Adam Bergstrom, and other people that are on the same kind of idea about this virus thing as Dr. Zach Bush is. So I think it's just really cool to begin to understand more of how this thing, what this whole virus thing is about. And isn't it fascinating that that here we are looking at something which is really a gift, a genetic update, right? A virus is a genetic update to get us stronger, to help us to evolve genetically, which we've done since the beginning of time. That's what these viruses do. And then we have forces, including our government, President Trump et al., because he believes what he's being told, and he's probably just wrong. Fauci and to demonize him, something that's trying to help us. Now, you can't make that up. I mean, there's a movie there somewhere, right? You can't make that up, can you? Just exactly the opposite of what spirit is trying to do to help us get stronger, to help us evolve, to help us do our dream. to help us in every way, these viruses. And then we have forces their genesis, Agenda 21, you know, the New World Order people, the Illuminati people, the Big Merc, Big Pharma, rather, Big Agribusiness, the dollar people wanting to corral us, control us. Maybe you can kill us. But this is planet Earth today, and we're doing great. Because our little bodies know what to do. Someone sent this one to me. This is kind of fun. What's a relative term? Fun. In 1933, Hitler appointed Hermann Göring Minister of the Interior. One of his first orders was to defund and eliminate the police department so they would not interfere with his brown shirts, whose mission was to riot, burn, and beat up and kill citizens in an effort to sway the elections. Nineteen thirty-three was also a curious year. That was the year that Roosevelt, the Prez, made it illegal for us to own gold. Yeah, he said he called in all the gold. He said, "You guys can't own gold anymore. Come on in, bring it in. Bring it in, you'll be fine. We're going to give you, I think, $20 or $15 for the gold." And people did it. They actually made it illegal to own gold in 1933. People did it. They wouldn't do it today, would they? I don't think so. I mean, President Trump could get out there and say, "Okay, it's illegal to own gold. You got to bring it in. We're going to give you." Nobody would do it. Why would you? Nobody knows you got it. Unless you have bullion. If you have bullion gold, did you know that there's a record of that? But if you buy coins, numismatic coins, from U.S. Coin Capital, our friend Fred, 800-878-2646. No record. Nobody could take your coins. I'm just saying. We've had some really wonderful weather. Some system blew through a few days ago. And, I mean, it's been getting down to the high 50s at night. So we went from 80 degrees at night to a high 50s and overnight. It was actually cold in my house last night. It was like, I got my long sleeve thing on this morning. No air conditioner. It's great. Tis great. Alan writes in, I'm wondering what's a good thing to drink if I wake up in the middle of the night? Solar timing. Adam probably, I think Adam's listening this morning. Good morning, Adam. But he's told us that the thing to do in the middle of the night, the best thing is morning foods, because the morning starts, I think, around 12:30 or so. So if you're up at 3 o'clock, you can do morning foods, which would be dates, or you could do some orange juice, a little bit of apple, or actually my favorite is an organic gluten-free buckwheat apple waffle, really, with butter and jelly, organic jelly, and maple syrup. I eat that little baby going to the sauna. Yeah, sometimes I just need more food, more. My body says, feed me. Dear Patrick, what's that? When's a good time to breathe your hydrogen? Anytime you want. Anytime. Just my opinion, you get this hydrogen machine, the Brown's Gas Baby that I'm doing, lots of us are doing, just breathe it. Much you can, just breathe it. I don't think you can do it too much. I mean, it's an antioxidant and there's just no way. I mean, how could you do it too much? Oxidative stress is really one of the big, the chief causes of disease, and the cause of disease, we believe. So anytime you can do more of that stuff, well, just do it. Just do it. This is Open Phone Friday, September 11th. 888-663-6386. Email is patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Okay, let's see here. Michael says, I've got some research on this. I think he's writing about Morley. I've got a friend who has too much iron and gives blood regularly. I found people saying to drink sauerkraut juice to get the proper probiotics and enzymes to process the excess iron from the body. I don't know. Shilajit contains magnesium malate, and I take it daily. The absolute best mineral supplement I have found. Okay. I also take colloidal copper. Yeah, Morley suggests that that's not a good thing, but you can take that. No offense to Morley, but he does not look like someone I would take health advice from. It reminds me the other day when I was eating in a restaurant and a 350-pound guy was telling that there was no benefit to eating organic. Well, I think you're being a bit obtuse there, sir, with all opinion. You know, Morley is, I don't know, what is he? Close to 70 revolutions around the sun. If you know his history, he had a long history of ill health, massive. Lots of stuff. Mother, father. He came in here, baby. He was loaded up. Mother, father, sisters and brothers, all kinds of stuff going on. So he may not look, but, you know, beauty is just not, you know, beauty is internal, soul, where he is, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. I would challenge you to remember, to know, and understand the research that he's done over the last 10 years. Can you do that? You're probably 40 years younger than him or 30 years younger than him. So that's bogus, you know? Don't do that. And to comparing him with a fat guy in organic, come on. So I think you're being a bit snarky. I may be getting snarky at you, but I can do it because I want to. Hi, Patrick. I thought I'd send this to you to see what you think. It took me a couple of readings before it started to sink in. I remember reading something a few years ago about the corporate government on how the British still own us. Any insights from your vast collection of interviews and knowledge? Yeah, and this was This is all from a lady. Her name is, she's a judge. And her name is Von Rietz, Anna Von Rietz. She's got Zoom things, she's got video, she's very popular. Because she's talking about the organization of the United States and how it's just this bankrupt corporation and they don't have authority over us and they don't have jurisdiction over us and all this stuff. And you file the right papers and you can be free and blah, blah, blah. And so she asked my opinion, and I wrote her back, and let me just read a little bit what I wrote to her. Yes, we know of her, I wrote, and her work, and what she's saying is correct. And I put in bold, on paper. On paper, it's correct. She's got it. I've seen her stuff. She's on it. And I can turn you on to some attorneys who would agree. She's on it. She knows exactly how it's all set up. It's all smoke and mirrors. But I wrote to this lady. I said, but my opinion and experience looking at these ideas for many, many years is that when we have a birth certificate, a social security number, a driver license, take out any loan, credit card, mortgage, car note, student loan, filed one tax return, registered to vote, and I wrote to her, and here's the most fun one. If we've ever used a Federal Reserve note, which is a debt instrument, according to people that I trust, Andrew Goss and others, attorneys, we are in the system. It's important. We are in. All of these things are what they call adhesion contracts, meaning the fine print, if you do them and if you use them, you are agreeing that you're in. And you're in. And you're not going to get out. So we've learned over the years that you just play fair within. You pay your taxes. Stop at stop signs. Don't take anybody's stuff. Don't kill anybody. And pretty much it's all, you know, kind of Richard Mayberry. Just do all that you've agreed to do. And do not encroach on other person's or their property. You know, don't punch somebody in the mouth. Don't steal their stuff. Don't run into them if you're driving. And if you have a deal with somebody, I'm going to give you $400 for your couch. Do it. Don't just take the couch and don't give them the money. Then you're not doing all you agreed to do. But when we are involved in the banking system, which is essentially the boys, the New World Order, you know, the Rothies, the boys, you know, the WHO, the CDC, the UN, the Federal Reserve Bank, military industrial complex, the boys, then the people that pull their strings, and who knows who they are, because they stay in the shadows. They're still running the show legally, lawfully. So you can't go into court and use this Anna Von Rietz stuff because courts are not constitutional because the constitutional isn't even in play today because of all of this. The Supreme Court talks about the Constitution, but they just talk about it. it isn't really in play. I don't know if they know John Roberts or Gorsuch. I don't know if they know this stuff. But they just go along to get along because they got a great job for life. And then they'll just make believe the Constitution is real. But then they still just do what they want anyway. They don't really go by the Constitution. It's just all opinion, right? When it really hit me was with Bush v. Gore. Remember that one? And it went to the Supreme Court. And it was all about the Chads and Florida. And I don't even know what the actual case was about, but it went to the Supreme Court. And then, of course, they ruled in Bush's favor along party lines, right? So the more conservative judges ruled for Bush and the more liberal judges ruled for Gore. Now, you tell me they were going by the Constitution? Now, I'm not whining because I wanted Gore to win because I don't care. It's all nonsense. But do you know what I'm saying? So once I saw that, I go, well, this is, you know, it's a rigged game. So, you know, these Supreme Court guys are no more, you know, they're don't put them on a pedestal. And I was hearing saying that Lyndon LaRouche talks about us still being owned by the Brits. Yeah, they're in there. Yeah, they're definitely the Bank of England and the Queen and, oh yeah. They're definitely in there. Yeah. They're definitely in there. Even more so in Canada, because Canadians are British subjects. Our politicians tell us we're sovereign free. Not really. But that doesn't mean we can't live like that and we can't do our life like that and do what we want and learn how to creatively live under the radar and have the greatest life ever. Because just like viruses, look upon governments and, you know, CDC and all these people as just like viruses. And they're just out there trying to show us how to be stronger and more free, right? So they're putting roadblocks so we can learn how to go around them and use our creativity and say, well, I can do that. I can say I have a condition and not wear a mask or whatever. So you see, these are, just look upon them as viruses where we have a choice on whether or not they hurt us. I like that, right? People sending me links. Oh, yeah, we know him. Coleman, Vernon Coleman, yeah. He's pretty cool. Yeah, we've loved to get him on the air, but he has no way to contact him. Adam is a big fan of Vernon Coleman. You can go on YouTube and watch Vernon Coleman. Here's a new one. Maybe Sharon will want to put it up on the front page. I'll send it to her. I haven't seen it. There's so many cool people out there. And you know, and folks are, so many people are watching these things and waking up. And, you know, I think the whole vaccine thing is just going to implode. Sharon was telling me that, I haven't seen the article, but there were, there's lots of countries, including Australia, if you can believe it, that are just coming right out and saying, we're not going to do this mandatory thing. If you want to do this vax, go ahead. So I think the mandatory thing is just a non-starter. I mean, remember we talked about a few months ago, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. So you can just let that one go. Let her go. Just let that go. Now, there may be some things that'll happen where people will try to, want you to get a vaccine to fly or leave the country or come back in. But I suspect something like that would be challenged and not have a long shelf life anyway. And then even if it does, then it's just God's way of saying stay home or drive. Right? Not a big deal. Just a thought, I see all kinds of notifications on Facebook to sign up for mail-in ballots. It could be easy to get signed up for that. I don't know, but I won't click on it. If one was to sign up for a mail-in ballot, would that take them off the voter rolls in the physical? No, I don't think so. In person or... I don't think so. Now, once you're on the voter registration, you're kind of on there. I gave mine up 20 years ago because I was doing this whole tax resistor constitutional thing when I thought this stuff was real. And one of the things they said, well, get off the voter registration and that'll help you to be more free. But it's not true. You got so many other things anyway. But I got rid of mine a long time ago. Never did. Never to get back on. I'll see if I can find the Zuckerberg thing. I wonder if I can real quick while we're on the air. I'd like to play that for you. It's pretty cool. Let's see. Let's do on Google. Wait till you see this one. Whoa. Let's do mail. Oh, I got to go on the other website. Well, let me wait till we go to commercial. I can do it during the commercial. You know, another thing that you might want to look at this this Act Bush video, just look the whole thing. It's called Zach Bush and Sasha Stone. Towards the end of it, he talks about all of the organisms in the soil. And it's really cool with regenerative agriculture. And really good stuff. And so we're going to be doing more and more research on that and learn more about that. Because, this is where we're really going to be able to, change our microbiome and more. Get more and more stuff, as Morley's talking about the minerals, but if we can get them from the soil and from the vegetables, that's the bomb, right? That's the place. That's where we want to do it, right? Yes, sir. Okay, 888-663-6386. Congratulations to, what was his name? Oh, Daniel Duke, who won last month's drawing. And now, first-time callers are going to a new month, the month of September, if you'd like to be and maybe win something, and we're going to have some other prizes for you. Sorry, I got behind on the thing, and I've been really spending a lot of time with the screenplay. Took off last week to get more of that done, and got a little behind here. This is from Ed. Or Aaron Ed. I was thinking about buying an oxygen concentrator. Mask and reservoir bag to do EWOT. Oh, can you please discuss the pros and cons of doing EWOT? You mentioned that you returned the mask and reservoir bag, but kept the oxygen concentrator. What do you do with that, Aaron in California? Oh, well, I've had the oxygen concentrator for 15 years, so I didn't buy that. I did buy the bag and the mask from, I think, breathing.com, Mike, at the suggestion of Mark Serkis. And Dr. Serkis, Aaron, let me save this for him. Because he's going to be on next week. Actually, he's going to be on Monday, right? Yeah, He'll be on Monday. And I'll say this for him. I bought it, and then Ray Pete and Adam Bergstrom were talking about this whole idea of doing this kind of oxygen is not really being all that good for you. And even Dr. Serkis was talking about that people who get on oxygen in hospitals, that it could be more detrimental to their health than beneficial. So after I got the reservoir, I did two or three sessions on it. And actually, I could say I just didn't like the way it felt. It was just strange. So Adam knows a lot more about it, and Ray Pete. And then I started really doing some research, which I should have done before I bought the whole thing. I was just impulsive. I do that. And I really couldn't find much of anything that had very positive benefits from doing exercise with oxygen training, EWOT. The only place I found it is on places that were selling EWOT stuff. And all the things that I found on other things like all the geeky medical kind of websites talked about the benefits of oxygen, but then they also had all of these potential downsides from it. And then the thing that really cinched it for me was a study that was very, apparently, very well constructed and very detailed. And there were some people that wanted to get to the bottom of this idea of exercising and while breathing lots of oxygen, EWOT, exercise with oxygen training. And it was these bicycle guys in Europe. And boy, they did double blind, placebo controlled. They really did an experiment. And it was on for 6 months or so. They were even taking tissue samples and pH samples of the organs afterwards and looking at the oxygen levels in the body. They did this whole thing. And do you know what? They came up with minuscule benefits and some downsides to it. So when I saw that one, and I didn't see a study, I just sent it back. So that's about all I know about it. You're going to hear some very positive things from Dr. Serkis about it because he's a big fan of it, and that's great. So you're just going to have to, Aaron, kind of decide on your own what you think, and you could try it and see how you feel. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. If you'd like to join the show via telephone, I'd love to talk to you. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Don't forget we have the audio button to listen to the show, as many people do. And then also the video, which is on the front page. I don't think we're on Facebook again, are we? Yeah, for some reason, I don't know what happened. We were doing good, and they didn't give us a warning. They just kind of, they bombed us again. And for some reason, it doesn't stream on Facebook. And I'm just kind of, look at you, the new, that's a great one. Doing my own hair. Just one of the many skills I've honored. It's great. Her Facebook thing. Yeah, it's not streaming. I don't know why. You know, I'm kind of over Facebook. I mean, trying to figure out, they just make up the rules as they go along. But who cares? Email here. Did you look at Ron Amatron and the Creation Light Chip? Mr. Oxygen talked about it on the show with you. No. That's a new one. What's the creation?